people you are. And I ask that you give us your grace, pour it out again on each one of us. Give us the freedom to listen to the words that you have to bring to us now, that we can understand exactly what the blood of Jesus really means, all its power, what it means in our own lives, and help us to translate the words we hear now into our actions as we go about our day today and beyond. We ask this through the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior and God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, it's a great privilege for me to be able to introduce Mike Cater this Oh, probably many of you know him, but his resume is, if I went through every ministry he's ever been involved in, we'd spend the rest of our morning here, so I don't want to take up his time too much, but I do want to sort of hearken back to my one of my first, the ways that I benefited from Mike's life and ministry. It was a December day in 1974, and I was in the Ohio Union, the student union, and it was a noon Bible study that was there Monday through Friday, and Mike probably doesn't remember this, but you were sharing out of the book of 1 John and talking about the need in the world, and I think in particular you were talking about the country of Turkey and how few believers were in Turkey. And I was a newly saved person, college sophomore, and I was in the midst of rethinking, what am I going to do with my life? And that made such an impression on me that, wow, there's a big world out there, and there's a lot of need. And God, how might you use me? And so, Mike, I want to thank you for the way you let God use you in my life. I had also the privilege of being along on a church plant that Mike did. Mike and Tom Short let me come along for the ride in 1979 when we moved out to Silver Spring, Maryland to plant a church. Yeah, thank God. Yeah, amen, Sam. Sam is part of the fruit of that ministry. But anyway, I could go on and on about Mike, but Mike, I really love you and appreciate your life and ministry. Why don't you come and share with us?
Okay. I love coming home to New Song, and I believe it was 1988 that we launched this church together. And I have so many wonderful friends here. I want to just ask you to, I think you got a brochure, did you? If you'll open it up, I want to just tell you this brochure is out of date already because these statistics, this was printed about 9 months ago. And if you look at the inside, go to the inside and in the right bottom corner where it says Reaching the Lost, at the time this was printed, we had been involved with India, Nepal, and Bangladesh for 14 years. And we had been training nationals, indigenous people, how to share the gospel, how to disciple people, how to start churches. And so at that time when this was printed, our trainees and their disciples had already reached 10 million people with the gospel, face-to-face gospel shares. Well, today, we're up to almost 11 million gospel shares, and they're sharing the gospel face-to-face with 20,000 people a week. And so we have about 200 workers and 22 teams, and we train them to be excellent, expert in sharing the gospel. And through these 14 years, at that time this was printed, they had led to Christ 100,000 people. Now it's 110,000 people. They had started 1,000 churches. Now it's about 1,200 churches. And so we thank the Lord because we couldn't have done it without you and your prayers and your generous donations. And we are accelerating, and I am not fading away. I'm 73 years old, and by God's grace, still healthy. and working hard to together with you to reach this world, to reach the lost. And mosquito nets. At the time it was written, we had given out about 13,000 mosquito nets. Well, now it's near 20,000. And the Bibles, we're on a campaign right now. We're going to distribute 40,000 more picture Bibles to families. And so I just want to thank you for your donations and your prayers. And we pinch every penny and make every dollar go as far as possible. In fact, when we first came to India 14 years ago, a dollar could buy 42 Indian rupees. Today, a dollar can buy 83 Indian rupees. In other words, the dollar goes twice as far. And that means your donations go twice as far. And so we thank God for that economic situation. And just want to thank you for faithfully praying and donating to help us reach the lost. Some people don't believe these statistics. I have the data because we take weekly reports, monthly reports, and I can back up every word and every number in this sheet. And some people say, it's incredible, almost incredulous. It is incredible, but God is incredible. And God loves the world, and God is going to reach the world. And there's a day coming, Revelation 7:9, when crowds, innumerable, uncountable, will be standing before the throne. This is right after the rapture of the church, I think. And it says they're all clothed in white robes. But I'm getting into my sermon. I'll talk about that in a second. But I have been blown away by what the Bible says about the blood of Christ. And when the Bible speaks of the blood of Christ, it's talking about the death of Christ, because Leviticus 17:11 says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And you know, if you drain all the blood out of a human, he dies. And so Jesus gave his life. When it says it gave his blood, it means he gave his life to save you and me. Took all our sins in his body on the cross, paid for our sins. So how many blessings are there that come from the blood of Christ? I don't know, but I found 12. And there might be 100. But I want to talk with you this morning about 12 blessings or 12 benefits that come to you because you believe in the blood of Christ. And the first blessing is forgiveness of our sins. Have you ever felt guilty? We've all been guilty. What about since you've been saved, though? Have you ever felt guilty? Because this scripture, which we'll read, says that you have been forgiven, not partly, not mostly, but completely. And you know, we've all done things that we're ashamed of and we hope nobody ever finds out. God knew, and he forgave those. The ones we hate the most, the ones we're most ashamed of, the stupidest ones, he forgave your sins and mine. I've done horrible things in my life, and Jesus Christ forgave them. You know, humans, we have a hard time forgiving people sometimes. They say, oh, that was so bad what you did to me. How can I forgive you? Well, God did. God does. And, of course, we should follow his example and forgive too. But let's look at the scripture here, Matthew 26:28. For this is my blood. Jesus held up that cup at the Last Supper and said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for forgiveness of sins. And if you feel unforgiven this morning, I hope you'll just believe this scripture, because you're not unforgiven. The minute you put your faith in the blood of Christ for that first time, he forgave your past and your present and your future sins. That is God. Now, humans aren't like God yet. You know, we'll become like him when we see him. But he makes no bones about forgiving all our sins, no matter how heinous they are. You are totally forgiven. Well, you know, the Bible is the only religious book in the world that claims that God forgives all our sins. For example, if I can just contrast the Bible with some other scripture books, holy books. They're not real holy because they're not, because it's full of lies. But take the Vedas and the Bhagavad Gita of the Hindu religion, none of them say that God forgives all sins completely. Take the Guru Granth Sahib. If people follow Sikhism, they wear the turbans. They have a book about the size that they worship as their guru. But that book does not say God forgives all our sins. Take the Quran. The Muslims believe it, but it doesn't say God forgives all our sins. Take the Buddhist holy book called the Tripitaka. It doesn't say that God forgives all sins. So you know what? Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, they don't have forgiveness and they don't feel forgiveness because they don't believe in the blood of Jesus. Muslims don't believe Jesus died on the cross. They think God put a lookalike on the cross and just beamed Jesus up into heaven without dying. Well, talk about a sword to the heart of the gospel. That's what it is. But the truth is, Jesus died, and there were plenty of eyewitnesses. He died for you. He gave his blood for you, every drop, for forgiveness of your sins and mine. And so in Hosea 14:4, God says, I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely. I will love them freely. And I want to read that out of the New Living Bible. Just a second. So Hosea, what is it? Hosea 14:4. The Lord says, then I will heal you. But he says, then we got to go back. When? Go to verse 1. He says, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for your sins have brought you down. My sins brought me down. Your sins brought you down. But the Word of God says, return to the Lord your God. Number 2, verse 2, bring your confessions. Come to God. Bring your confession means come and confess your sins. Return to the Lord and say to him, and he tells you how to pray, salvation prayer, forgive all our sins. How many? Most? No. Forgive all our sins. And graciously receive us so that we may offer you our praises. And when you know you're forgiven, you love praising the Lord. If you don't know you're forgiven, it's hard to praise the Lord. But this is the promise that, look at verse 4. The Lord says, then I will heal you of your faithlessness. Backslidings come from faithlessness. My love will know no bounds. My love will know no bounds. Some of us, including me, have a hard time believing God loves me, really, really loves me. Well, some people believe he loves us a little bit. What does this say? His love for you, my love will know no bounds. And so are you loved? Why are you loved? Because God chose to send his son as a sacrifice. In fact, the scripture says, why do I love you? Because I love you. God doesn't love conditionally like us. You know, we say, I love you if, or I love you because. And God says, there's no ifs and there's no because. I love you because I love you. His love has no bounds. Hosea 4:14. Make a note of that. Underline it. Because when you know you're loved completely, you love God back. We love him because he first loved us. What a blessing that comes from the blood of Christ. The second blessing is redemption. When you think of redemption or think of the word redeemed, think of ransom. Redemption, redeemed, that's kind of a theological term. Ransom, we kind of get it. Redeemed means somebody paid a ransom. You may have seen the movie, I think it was Mel Gibson, where a kidnapper kidnapped his son and demanded a ransom. And the kidnappers, if they don't get the ransom, they kill the kid. And Jesus gave his blood as ransom. That's what he had to give, every drop, all of his whole life, to ransom you and me, redeem you and me from our sins. The ransom is the means through which we get salvation. Salvation is a free gift from God by grace through faith, but the means through which we get salvation is the ransom blood of Jesus. Look at Mark 10:45. Jesus said, "Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And so because you believe in the blood of Jesus, you've been redeemed. You have redemption. It's permanent. It's permanent. Some people think God will give it and take it away. Give it and take it away. That's not how it works. Because when you believe in the blood of Jesus, you're permanently ransomed. The ransom has been paid. See? Don't have to pay it twice. And so the gift of salvation is permanent. Free and permanent through the blood of Jesus. C.H. Spurgeon said it this way. He spoke of Christ's redemption on the cross by saying, it seemed as if all of hell were put into his cup, and Jesus seized it, and in one tremendous gulp of love, he drank damnation dry. The cup is empty. He drank it dry to save me and you. Aren't you glad? Aren't you happy you're redeemed? Thank you, Jesus, for that ransom that bought us, rescued us, set us free. Third blessing that comes from the blood of Christ is reconciliation. We were at a retreat this week, and I happened to know that some folks, not a retreat, a celebration, 50th anniversary of the time we started Linworth Road Community Church in 73. And I was aware that some folks that were attending, there were 350 or so that attended over the weekend, but I was aware that there were some brothers that were not reconciled. They were estranged, been estranged for a long time. And I saw these brothers loving each other, hugging each other, reconciled. And it was beautiful, beautiful. But you see, you and I were not, we were estranged from God because of our sinfulness. The blood of Jesus has healed that broken relationship and brought you to a permanent fellowship with God, friendship with God, intimacy with God. Only the blood of Jesus can do it. Nothing else will do it. No good works will do it. And so you've been reconciled. And Colossians 1:20 says that through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So reconciliation means a change in our relationship with God. We, you and I, were so far from God, we didn't know God, we didn't feel God, we couldn't experience God until we believed in the blood of Jesus. At that moment of your faith in Jesus, for me it was March 28, 1965, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I put my faith in the blood of Jesus, and I was reconciled. Yeah. Your fourth blessing that comes from the blood of Christ is justification. And you can remember what that means by thinking of justification. It's just as if I had never sinned. Just as if I had never sinned. And so justification is God made us righteous and God declares us righteous. And if God declares you righteous, he knows what he's talking about, and you don't disagree with him. Don't disagree and say, well, I haven't worked hard enough. It's not about working hard enough. It's about putting your faith in the blood of Jesus. And the scriptures, Romans 5:9, since we have now been justified, doesn't say we're working to try to get justified. It's what a lot of religions, even Christian religions, believe, but it's bad theology. And it's a shame because they don't believe the promise and they don't feel justified. In fact, if they're trusting their works for salvation, they're not yet justified. But having been justified, how? How? By his blood. By his blood. How much more then shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him? Have you been justified? Do you believe in the blood of Jesus? Huh? You believe in the blood of Jesus? Are you trusting in that shed blood of Jesus to not only make you righteous, but be declared righteous by God himself? You know, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He loves telling God all about your faults, all about your sins. And Jesus is there saying, Father, see my blood. And he declares you righteous. Get away from me, devil. Stop lying about my children. They're justified. And if you believe in the blood, that's what's happened to you. The fifth blessing that comes to the blood of Christ is a clear conscience. I know about having a guilty conscience. Probably you do too. And you feel rotten, don't you? You feel dirty, rotten. You feel like a dirty dog. And the blood of Jesus, according to God's word, clears our conscience. So we have no bad conscience because we have no guilt. Yeah, he takes away the guilt. Hebrews 9:14. How much more then will the blood of Christ cleanse our consciences from the acts that lead to death so that we can serve the living God? It's really hard to serve God when you have a guilty conscience. Yeah, it takes away your joy and your peace and your energy. Yeah, and there is no way to get a clear conscience except believe in the blood of Jesus and believe God's word about it, and your conscience will be clear. And then you can serve God with energy and joy. The sixth benefit or blessing that comes from the blood of Christ is purity, purity. And Revelation 7:14 says, he's talking about the saints that have put their faith in Christ. And in this verse, John the Apostle sees this vision of a crowd of people so large nobody can count them, standing before the throne of God dressed in white robes. The white robes, it says that they have washed their robes in the blood of Christ. I believe this is metaphorical, that, and what it means is that they have put their faith in the death of Christ as payment for their sins. And so their robes were dirty. Their life was dirty, and the only thing that could clean them is the blood of Christ. And so all these saints, after the rapture, which I hope comes today or soon, we'll be standing there with a multitude nobody can count, all of us with white robes, all of us pure and holy, without spot or blemish or any such thing. This next seventh benefit you get from the blood of Christ is access to God. You know, it's hard to get access to a president. You can't get near. It's hard to get access to rich executives. And without the blood of Christ, you could not get close. You could not enter his presence. But with the blood of Christ, through the blood of Christ, Hebrews 10:19 says, and so, dear friends, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of what? The blood of Jesus. Do you notice every verse I'm backing up these points with says the blood of Jesus? I'm not making this up. This is not contrived. This is pure Bible. because of the blood of Jesus. And one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, because I stumble, I fall, and I remember Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace, the throne of our gracious God. And what will we find? Tell me, if we come boldly to the throne of grace, what will you find there? According to the verse, what is it? Yes. Will you find condemnation? You come boldly and God said, get out of here, dirty dog. You're going to hell. No. To his throne. And you find mercy. What does that mean? Forgiveness, love and forgiveness. And grace. Love and forgiveness for what you did. Wrong. And grace to overcome that addiction or bad behavior, bad habit, grace. You're going to find mercy and grace because God says, yeah, I forgive you. You're clean. And here's some power. And here's the power so you can overcome that bad habit. The number eight, the eighth blessing that comes from the blood of Christ is nearness to God. It's similar, but a little bit different. Ephesians 2 says that you were formerly far off. You've been brought near by what? The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. And the blessing number nine is freedom. Oh boy. What's the opposite of freedom? Tell me.
Slavery.
Slavery. Yeah. Bondage. And without the blood, we are slaves. We would be slaves. We were slaves. Could not stop sinning. You can't stop sinning without the blood of Christ. The power is in the blood. There is power, power, power in the blood. Right? Yeah. Sing that one sometime, Ashley. You probably do already, huh? Yes. Power in the... By the way, I love those old songs. There have been saints that have gone before us in the last centuries that would have hallelujah revival meetings and sing about the blood of Christ. And I love those songs. And I hope you sing a lot of them. But you're free through the blood of Christ. No longer a slave. The devil says, you're still a slave. You can't overcome this one. Yes, you can. Because you're already free. Read Romans 6. Study Romans 6. We are free. I was walking along the old Intanji River one day, 45 years ago or so, where I took my prayer walks, and it hit me that he who has died, as Romans 6, verse 7, he who has died with Christ is free. Is free. And I was struggling with, you know, some bad habits. And I thought, wait a minute. Because I didn't believe I'm free. I believe I have to fight. And he's saying in Romans 6, you're already free. And once you understand that, all of a sudden the chains fall off. And you break away from that life and enter into a holier life. That leads us to number 10. The 10th blessing comes to you from the blood of Christ is holiness. Yeah. There are movements in the world, Christian movements called holiness movements, striving to be holy, and we should. But this promise is that because of the blood of Christ, you're already holy. Positionally and growing into the sanctification where we just don't hardly sin anymore. And I don't believe we can reach sinless perfection in this life. I think we can get really close, you know. And I believe the saints of God before us lived in that holiness. So Hebrews 13:12 says, so also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates in order, what? To make his people holy. That's why he did it. He had people that weren't yet holy. And he suffered and died to make you and me holy. Amen? And by his blood you are holy. When God looks at you through the blood of Christ, he sees holiness. He doesn't see sinfulness. Because your sins and lawless deeds he'll remember no more. How did he make you holy? By shedding his own blood. Number 11 is cleansing. It's similar, but God chooses a different word to help us get our arms around the truth of this. And it's 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from how many sins? All sins. All sin. You're clean. You're forgiven. You're holy. And one last one, and there are more, but I only wrote down 12 for today. Victory through the blood of Jesus. Victory. And they overcame the devil. Revelation 12:11. People of God overcame the devil. How? Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. The devil hates your guts. He's constantly trying to destroy you, tear you down, drag you back. You can kick his behind. If you believe in the blood of Jesus, kick him, stomp him. Doesn't it say the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet? Huh? Yeah, I think we sing some songs about stomping, crushing Satan. It's purely Bible. And are you sick of Satan messing with you? Stomp him under your feet. How? How did they overcome him? The blood of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Yeah, amen. God bless you guys. Praise the Lord. Father, I pray that you'll help us to believe these things that'll change our lives. I pray that you'll help us believe these things that will give us joy. I pray that we'll believe these things that will give us freedom and overcome in the name of Jesus. Amen.
For reminding me of that song. It's Romans 16:19, the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. I remember singing that years ago. Yeah, that's a good one. Somebody put it to music years ago. Yeah. Well, I don't know about you all. Which one was most helpful for you? I'm thinking for me it was number 7. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. I find myself there a lot. Yeah. There's victory. That's right. Yeah. So I tell you, folks, many here have supported Mike and Sue for years. And if you're looking for somewhere to contribute your the things that God has entrusted to you, you want to bless the ministry? I mean, when you look at the numbers in this brochure, I was just thinking, you know, if I were a guest at any church in the world on a Sunday morning and a missionary stood up and said that they had distributed over 1 million gospel booklets or over 100,000 professions of faith, like, wow, that is just amazing. Praise the Lord. And here is the founder of this church, Brother Mike and Sue, who have done this. God has done this through them. You can't find a better place for your investment in the kingdom than Run Global. So please speak with Mike and Sue afterwards about how you can support them. And I want you to know, if you give here on Sunday morning, our church supports them as well monthly. And many individuals do as well. So please consider supporting Mike and Sue. Lael's got a special announcement for us here in just a minute. I'll ask her to come on up. So in a couple weeks, we're scheduled to have a marriage conference, and we're going to postpone that. Turns out September's not the best month after all to do that. A lot of schedule conflicts. So we're going to postpone that off to probably February when we normally do marriage conferences. So for those of you who have already registered, we'll process your refund sometime this week and get that back to you. So that's coming in the spring. Also, the biggest thing, you couldn't help but notice these banners here, right? Pull through prayer. I get excited every time it's time for pull through prayer. Right after the service, if you are volunteering with pull through prayer, please meet with Jack over here for a few minutes on this side. We'll be praying on this side. So meet with Jack over here if you're going to be volunteering for pull through prayer. I think you already know that we're blessing box. We're kind of pausing those donations for a little bit. Youth for Christ, if you'd like to support Youth for Christ, see Bill. Raise your hand. There's Bill right there. Yep, Bill or Kathy. If you'd like to help with Youth for Christ. And then in your bulletin, it says tonight is prayer for the nations. Come on up, Lil. In your bulletin tonight, it says prayer for the nations. That's going to be next Sunday night, not tonight. All right? So we're going to move that off till next Sunday. And as always, there's prayer available down front here. And we would love to pray for you through the week, so please email your prayer request to prayer@newsong.family or fill out one of those little blue cards on the back table. And now Leo has a special announcement for us.
Thank you. So about a month ago, maybe a little longer, I shared an announcement about Operation Christmas Child. That we are blessed, the Columbus area team has been blessed with being able to hold a packing party for special access countries, the countries that are close to the gospel, and we're going to be sending 1,000 shoeboxes for them. So that is happening in 2 weeks. September 17th is a Sunday. We're going to be setting up in here after church, and then on Monday, from 3:30 to 6:30, we're going to be packing shoeboxes. My target volunteers are coming. And then on Tuesday, 6:30 to whenever we finish, we're going to be also packing with your families and bring the kids and everything. So what I need to know is how many people can come and what night they'll be here, and if you can help set up on Sunday. So if you could meet me after the pull-through prayer meeting and just let me know, or if you don't have time today or you don't know, the last announcement in the bulletin has my phone number in there that you can either text or call me or whatever with what you can or how you can help. So I have more ideas if you need that, but thank you very much for your help.
So allow us to close in prayer. Dear God, thank you for these wonderful reminders of what it is that you have done for us. What an amazing God you are. I praise you for your goodness, your love. I praise you for your offer of salvation. And I thank you that we can accept that praise, we can accept that offer by a profession of faith and that you have risen, that you are alive, very alive God, and you work within us, each of us. And I pray that each of us then converts that wonderful gift into real actions. Even the word works is used to give you that praise back, and that we can then show our love for you through it, our actions, and let our bodies be a wonderful gift back to you. And we ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Before I have you stand for the benediction, I just want to add my amen to the great opportunity that you have to participate in evangelizing the whole world by giving generously to Run Global. I think it's obvious to all of us that the vast majority of us are not in a position to uproot and go to another country, a third world country, no less. And we have an opportunity through Run Global to give to support native missionaries. It would be a lot more expensive to support a Westerner who has become accustomed to a certain lifestyle to live in a foreign country, but these are folks that are native Nepali, native Indians, and we can get a lot of bang for our missionary buck by giving generously. So and just a reminder, probably lots of Christians know, oh, there's a verse in the Bible that says we're to pray for kings and those in authority. But oftentimes they overlook the phrase that comes right before that, where Paul says, first of all, I urge that entreaties, prayers, petitions be made on behalf of whom? On behalf of all men. We are to feel the weight of the world on our shoulders. Not that we're the Savior. There's only one Savior. It's not you and it's not me, right? There's one Savior. But we're to pray for all men. Wouldn't it follow, if we're praying for lost people around the world, that that would affect how we handle our resources, our finances? So I know, and I think you know too, if you give generously, in heaven you're not going to regret it, and I bet on earth you're not going to regret it either. So be sure to take a look at that brochure and figure out how you can participate in giving to Run Global. Alrighty, with that, please stand for the benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So don't forget, if you're signed up, or even if you're